Welcome to A Servant's Heartbeat. My name is Kristen. Thank you for listening and allowing me to share my heartbeat for the kingdom of God with you. All right, so a couple of phrases to get us going on the topic for today. The topic is the value in brokenness. So maybe you've heard one of these phrases before. Imagine you're in a store and there's things in that store that are outside of your price range, and you see this big sign or you hear somebody say this phrase, "You break it, you buy it." Or another one may be, "Nice to look at, nice to hold. Once it's broken, consider it sold." Now, if I read that sign that says, "You break it, you buy it," I'm going to walk down that aisle in that store with a little more caution than normal, perhaps. And oftentimes, when we talk about being broken or the topic of brokenness, those words like broke and breaking can make us approach a feeling or situation with caution, or even sometimes in a negative way. Because being broke or having something that's broken in your life can trigger some unpleasant reminders or experiences. So for example, when it comes to my finances, don't nobody like to be broke. It don't feel good. Or it makes an uneasy feeling to think about somebody breaking into your home or your car or something that's your own. There's that feeling of being frustrated when your car breaks down, or the hurt that your heart feels by a broken promise. So this list could go on, but my goal or aim for today as we talk about brokenness is to try to shine some light on the value in brokenness, especially when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. So the example that we'll use to get us started on the topic from the Bible is going to come from a place that's pretty familiar. It's recorded in other gospels, but the one that we're going to look at is found in Mark 14:3. And it says, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head." So in this story, we have Jesus and his disciples. They're in a house. They're gathered for a meal, talking, enjoying the fellowship. And then in walks this woman, breaks a box, and begins to pour this ointment over the head of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know that I can recall the last time I was sitting at, say, a dinner table for a meal, and someone walks in with this box of ointment, breaks it, and just begins to pour it over someone's head. So for our day and time, what she did at first glance may seem a bit odd. It's kind of like, well, why would she do that? Well, sometimes as we are reading our Bibles, we come across stories such as this one that we have heard time and time again. And at times, we can read right over the verses of those stories so quickly because we know the story so well and could possibly even quote the verses of that story. But there are those other times when the Lord will drop a little thought in your mind or cause something to pop out that maybe you haven't seen before. Things that make you go, I wonder about that. Or kind of the head scratcher of, I want to dig into that a little bit. And it's this sparked desire or this interest to study a little bit more about something you just read. It's Bible study that's not scheduled. It's not planned, but it's spontaneous. And one of the many joys of spending time in the Word, those moments where something pops out and just makes you go, I want to know some more about that. I say all that to say, I'm reading this verse and have one of those moments. the moment where I think, wait a minute, let me look into this a little bit more. Now, there are definitely several things that could be considered about this story, but my attention in my moment was drawn to the ointment because there was intention in clarifying the kind of ointment that was used. So as odd as it may seem to the present day time and culture that we're in, it was not uncommon back then for an important guest of a banquet or a feast to be anointed with oil. One of the customs for that time was that the host of banquets would provide oil to anoint the heads of guests of noble social status. So you could almost say it was an act of hospitality or a means of honoring someone. And not to digress too much, but considering this idea of how a host would treat their guest kind of made my brain think a little bit more about what we read in Psalms 23:5, when David is at the table prepared and his head is anointed with oil. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. What a privilege and an honor to be a guest at the Lord's table. But going back to Mark, this woman poured out ointment of spikenard, very precious. But what did the disciples think about what she did? Mark 14:4-5. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. So some had indignation towards what she did, but their indignation wasn't so much about Jesus being anointed. That was a familiar thing for their time, their custom. The hang-up was the cost, the value of the ointment that was more than a year's worth of wages. So Mark 14:3 says it was ointment of spikenard, very precious. It was of great value. This wasn't your everyday run-of-the-mill oil or ointment. Of course, I don't know that anybody knows this for a fact. This is just what I came across in studying, but several places alluded to this custom of anointing a guest. More than likely, the oil or ointment that was used was a more common type of oil, so one that was of lesser value. It's possible that the oil that was typically used for this custom wasn't as expensive. It wasn't a very precious type of ointment. So with this more common, lesser value oil in mind, here's some personal application to consider. When I want to honor the Lord, when I want to show him that I love him, that I am devoted to him, what kind of oil have I come with? Whenever I come to worship, or whenever I come to meet with him in that place of prayer, what kind of oil am I pouring out in honor to him? Because there's the common oil, the oil of lesser value, the oil of ordinary worship, if you will. It's not that expensive. It's still oil, but it didn't cost me as much. The oil of routine rather than relationship with a devoted love for the Lord. And because this is such a common thing, it doesn't take a breaking to get to this oil because it's so common. So in worship, this oil may look like I'm clapping my hands unto the Lord. The motion is there, but my heart and my mind are somewhere else. Now, on the other hand, there's the ointment that is an extremely high value. This one is going to cost you something. This ointment is very precious to the Lord. This ointment requires an intentional breaking of that alabaster box to get to. It's this ointment that's very precious, that the worship is from the heart. In worship, this very precious ointment pushes pride aside, and the heart, mind, and soul are totally engaged in loving God in that moment. The breaking to get to this very precious ointment takes a press. I'm trying to get beyond my flesh. And for this woman with the alabaster box in this example, I don't think her focus was on the others around her in that room. Her attention was on Jesus. So when I approach Jesus, have I come with common oil or have I come with very precious ointment? I think the Lord places a very high premium or value on love. I mean, the two greatest commandments are based on love. Love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself. So I think the Lord's pretty interested in our love and devotion that we intentionally pour out to Him. And maybe sometimes we feel like, God, it's little old me. What do I have to offer? There is great value and something very precious in the love and devotion that we give to Him. The wealth of what that woman brought that day went well far beyond the literal cost of that ointment. I would highly assume that none of us are carrying around a literal alabaster box, but spiritually speaking, there's something in me that needs to break. The breaking of that alabaster box is what allowed something very precious to be poured out. So, has my love and devotion to the Lord brought me to that place of breaking, or something also very precious can be poured out to the Lord? But what kind of breaking am I getting at here? Maybe it's a breaking of emotional walls. Walls that I have built to protect myself instead of letting God protect me. Those walls that don't let some things in, like when God is trying to reach to me, but also it doesn't let things out, such as that loving trust in the Lord that says, God, I trust you with my whole heart. It's as if I've made a little fence or a wall around me and will only allow God and the things of God within a certain distance of my heart because I'm trying to protect. And if I have walls like that, then perhaps that is something within me that needs to break. Or another example, that breaking could be that strong-willed mind or opinion that hasn't quite embraced, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. This may look like a battle of submission on something that I don't feel ready to do yet. It's a stance of, I got this, or I know what I'm doing. And there hasn't quite been that breaking of submission where I acknowledge that God, without a doubt, knows what's best for me, and I'm willing to let Him lead me wherever that may be. And pretty similar to that one, it may be the breaking that brings me to a place of revelation and understanding that I can't do this by myself and understanding how desperately I need God. There's not a moment that goes by that I don't need Him. And that kind of breaking can lead me to a place of humility. So rather than trying to be independent, there's that place of breaking where I finally learned to lean on God. And this brokenness isn't a sign of being weak or something to be looked down upon. Like the disciples in that story, for example, looked at her actions with indignation. But Jesus responded in Mark 14:6, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me." So He called what she did, that breaking, that pouring out, a good work. The ESV and NIV both translate good work as a beautiful thing. So when we pour out that very precious ointment of sincere love and devotion to God, it's a beautiful thing to Him. We were talking about this a few weeks ago in music devotion, and someone made a statement that breaking that box was done with intention. Pouring out that very precious ointment was done with intention, nothing withheld. So if a breaking, if a press is what it takes to draw me closer to the Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. Whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'm willing to do. Psalms 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." And we sing the song and even pray, "Lord, break every chain." And it's amazing, without a doubt, to see those chains broken and really gone and people set free. But after those chains, addictions, habits, strongholds, whatever they may be, have broken, am I, the vessel, willing to be broken? The Lord brought the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. The chains keeping them in Egypt were broken. But even being out of Egypt, something on the inside of them still needed to break. So much like that very precious ointment that came from that alabaster box, there's a very precious oil or ointment of love and devotion inside us that can be poured out and draw us closer to God. So the next time that I approach prayer or worship or any area of service in the kingdom of God, the thought has been in my mind, which oil have you brought today? Is it the common routine oil? Or am I pouring out of a devotion and love that is very precious? And getting to that very precious ointment, just like with that alabaster box, takes a breaking. That breaking may look different for each of us, but ultimately, whatever form the breaking happens in, the end result is something that can draw us closer to God if we let it. The Lord is nigh unto them. Psalms 34:18 says, that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. My most heartfelt cries and communication to God may come through a moment of brokenness. And that very precious, sincere worship and love for God may come in the midst of one of the toughest times I've had to face. But there is great value in the ointment that was poured out of that broken alabaster box. And there's also great value in what flows from the heart in a moment of brokenness in the presence of the Lord. There is value in your brokenness.